Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jay Davis Show. I'm super excited to have Nicole Tanner with us here today. She is the founder of an amazing company called Swig. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it and love it. I definitely do. My kids do. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Yeah, my wife and I, probably it's a love-hate because every time we talk to Swig, our kids are like, can we get Swig?
I know. Well, thank you. I hope to create connection and a family outing and experience. And you get an amazing drink at the same time. And that's how it's always been. But there's way worse things you guys could be getting and spending your money on, right? So think of it like a Disneyland ride. You know, you're going for a family outing, getting a drink.
So true. It's one of our favorite things. Can you tell the audience a little bit about, like, where did this idea come from? How did you get started? What was kind of that journey? And even would also love to hear about other parts of your background and experience outside of
school. Yeah.
So let's start.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a mom of 5 children. At the time, they're all older now. That's what happens with your kids, by the way, they grow up on you. But back in the day, 14, 15 years ago, they were between the ages of 4 and 14. And so a busy mom, you know, taking kids to school activities, to, you know, sports things, just anything and everything. And I would go to Sonic to get my drink fix, which was a Diet Coke with lime. And so I'd be going to there to get it because they had the good pebble ice. So that good kind of crushed ice.
Yeah.
And the foam cup that kept the drink cold longer. But sometimes the experience was lacking. So whether the lines were long because they were prepping and cooking food inside, or I felt like maybe a number in their drive-thru line, like they didn't really recognize that I was coming on a regular basis. And I wanted to be made to feel known of, like, hey, Nicole, welcome back. You're getting your usual, that type of a thing, because I was coming on a really regular basis. So I thought, okay, well, I didn't see anybody else out there doing it, of just drinks, just drive-through drinks that was fast. And then also that customer experience of, like, I see you, I love you, I appreciate you coming. And that honestly was just like, okay, I don't see it anywhere else. I'm going to create that because I would appreciate that as a customer. So honestly, that's how it started, was that simple, providing a need that I felt like was lacking out there in the customer service world. And so that's how it started. I found an old beat up building in Southern Utah, St. George, Utah. It had been a skate park for years, like ramps up the side of the building. It had been a U-Haul rental place. It was very worn down at the time. And fixed it up. What I envisioned, though, is it had a huge parking lot. So I envisioned cars wrapped around it to get their drink fix. And so that's what I needed, was a great parking lot with cars that could pull in and out, get in and out easy. So not on like a super busy road where you can't access it. It was a little bit off the beaten path, which people thought was not a good idea. But for me, it worked out. It worked out really well. So. Yeah. Came up with the idea. The name of the business was looking in the thesaurus under the word drink. And the minute that I came to Swig, which there's a lot of names for drinks in the thesaurus.
Yeah.
And the minute that we came to Swig, I'm like, stop. Like, that is it. And maybe from my childhood or from my past, whatever, but can I have a swig of your drink, or let me have a swig of that, or whatever. It just was one word, just consistent. Everybody would know it's a drink stop. So that's where the name came from. And I knew I just needed some good drinks. I was needed Diet Coke because, you know, that was my drink. So I had a Coke machine. Pepsi and Coke don't like to exist in the same space. As you know, if you go to an establishment, they're either a Coke or a Pepsi establishment. Well, I knew there were Mountain Dew drinkers, my brothers being some of them, and Pepsi drinkers. So I wanted this because we are just selling beverages, basically. We needed to have both Pepsi and Coke products. So came in with just our Coke machine, had that all set up, ready to go, and Pepsi wouldn't come in. They were like, we can't, you can either be one or the other. And so I just was like, okay, well, this is what we're shooting for. We really hope that you'll come in. We want to sell both products. They weren't. I'm like, you know what? We just got to open the doors. So open the doors, April 2nd, 2010. We were pouring Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Diet Pepsi from 2 liter bottles because Pepsi wouldn't come in. And I wasn't going to wait anymore. Like time was ticking. Money was going out the, you know, down the drain. And so for a month, we poured Pepsi, any Pepsi products from 2 liter bottles. And I remember this gentleman sitting out in front of the original swig with the patio, and he's sitting on his chair and he's drinking his drink. And I opened the window and said, how's your Pepsi? He's like, this is the best Pepsi I've ever had. And he had no idea how it was prepared, like literally from a 2 liter bottle, but it was how he felt.
Yeah.
So it went back to the reason why I started it is he felt special drinking that drink. Maybe because of the Pebble Ice, but it was more of just how it was served to him. We made him feel like a person that we cared for. And he loved it. Pepsi wised up and came in a month later. And so we had Coke and Pepsi both in the building. And so now, of course, in all the swigs we do. And honestly, I think we created like a market that really didn't exist, like besides like gas stations. But now you can go to any of our competitors or other places now, and they do have Coke and Pepsi that are in both. So
amazing. So awesome. Yeah. I love that so much of that came from you seeing a problem, seeing a gap, and being the user. I think that's one of the things that consistently I've seen with great entrepreneurs is it's usually not from a place of like, oh my gosh, I could make so much money. It's from a place of like, man, this drives me crazy. This doesn't exist. And that's usually where great ideas start. So that's so fun.
Well, you need to have so much passion and belief in it because starting a business is hard.
Yeah.
It is so hard to stay the course. There's so many bumps along the way. There's so many challenges. So if you don't love it, it's going to be hard to stay the course. So you got to love it. You got to live, breathe, sleep. Especially if you're creating a market that doesn't exist. Like you have, you're blazing a trail. We're trailblazers.
Yeah.
But you have to really want to be on that trail.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, one of the things I want to ask you about, for years, I would debate and argue with people because people in Utah would say swig is amazing, but it's something that only works in Utah. And I would always argue and debate with them that that's not true. I'm like, they're going to kill it when they go outside of Utah. What has that process been like for you? I've already heard,
yeah.
But it sounds like it's gone pretty well. So
right. I know. It always just made me laugh when people would say that, oh, it's a Utah thing. And yeah. I'm like, no, I just happened to live in Utah. Like I lived in Colorado for 11 years and would go to Sonic all the time. That's where it really started. My love of my crushed ice and Diet Coke. Well, Sonic is everywhere. I mean, it started in Oklahoma. So I'm like, that just doesn't make sense to me that this is just a Utah thing. I just happened to live in St. George, Utah, and we're like, I want to do this. So yeah, it always made me laugh, but Coke and Pepsi are billion-dollar companies for a reason, and it's not because of Utah. It is because of larger consuming soda states like Oklahoma or Texas or Alabama or, you know, South Carolina, Florida, like it is Utah. They love Utah, Coke and Pepsi, but we're not their bread and butter.
Yeah.
So I knew once we got outside of Utah, we would be just fine. But we needed to prove that because we had a lot of people for 10 years telling us, oh, there's no way. And the reason why we grew within Utah was just because that's where we lived. And so it was easier to scale. I think too many business owners and entrepreneurs start somewhere and then they jump about 10 states and then put another one there like their second location. That is so hard to support that other store that is states away. We grew organically on purpose. So we spread throughout Utah so we could learn about ourselves, like learn what kind of training do we need? What kind of support do we want to provide? Who are our vendors? Which that's changed over the years too. So you have to learn about yourself before you really skip a different couple states and then open up in a yeah. different region, which does things differently. So we've spread throughout Utah. And then we were like, okay, let's show the world that it's not just a Wasatch Front or like a Utah, Arizona, Idaho thing. So we jumped over to Oklahoma in 2021. And we did that purposefully. Sonic is headquartered there.
Yep.
And Coke and Pepsi told us that Oklahoma and Texas are one of their top consumers in soda consumption. So easy decision, smart business decision for us. We have landed so well in Oklahoma and Texas. We have 5 locations in Oklahoma City, and we have 8, almost 9 locations in Dallas, with 2 in Houston, and many more to come. Texas is going to be the new Utah for Swig, mark my words.
I love it.
They will have that many locations. But we've landed so well. The stores are doing so well. We have been received so well by our Oklahomans and Texans that they're amazing states. But we're also in Arkansas now. That was our first franchise location.
Yeah.
And they are at the top of the pack, like top 5.
That's
already. And they opened in November.
That's amazing.
So it's fun for me to see, especially as you go back to the early days where it was like, please just let one location work. Because honestly, Jay, people thought we were crazy. Because how do you make money off of just selling fountain drinks? And it was a long shot, but I knew it was more than just the fountain drink. I knew it was a fast line, so you can trust our lines like Chick-fil-A. I knew it was a superior product. And then I knew we needed to make people feel special and known. Like, we take your order on an iPad out front to front. You'll never see us taking orders on a squawk box or at a window. It's person to person. Always been those 3 things.
Love.
So it's more than the drink. It's about how you feel in that line. So
that's amazing. Well, I just want you to know I've been defending you for a long time.
Nice. Thanks,
I'm
Jay.
I'm really glad that you finally proved me right, but proved yourself.
Right.
But it's great. Right. I grew up in Colorado as well, or lived in Colorado for a long time. And that was,
yeah.
It was always Utahns who would say that. And I'm like, do you think everyone outside of Utah drinks coffee and alcohol exclusively?
Right.
Or something like,
no.
Drink soda everywhere. It's not a
everywhere.
Utah thing. So anyways, that's so fun to hear that it's going so well. What's been the process? One of the things that's really exciting that you guys have announced is this partnership with the Larry H. Miller Group and acquisition, I think would be, or mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a full acquisition.
Either way.
Partial. But so exciting and such an amazing group. What's that process been like? And as an entrepreneur, what have you learned from that process of going through that acquisition?
So there's been several moments in my journey at Swig, and it is a journey. And anytime you start a business, it is a journey. It's like a marathon.
Yeah.
It's like I've hiked the Grand Canyon twice, and it's like hiking the Grand Canyon. You know, it's like the down and then the really hot spots in the middle and then the hiking up, and like it's a journey. So in 2013, we brought on partners, minority partners, and they were basically just financial at that point. So realize in 2013, I've got about 20 different hats on. You know, we have 2 locations and I'm just running all over the place. So I'm manager, I'm HR, I'm marketing, I'm everything. We brought them on so that I could kind of step back and then take that, what I have established down in Southern Utah, and expand here into Northern Utah. That's where I'm at right now in our office. So that helped at that point. So it was very pivotal in 2013 to help us to grow to 17 locations by 2017. That was our next kind of pivotal moment of like, okay, we have so many locations now that I'm back and forth at all times trying to support our Northern Utah stores and our Southern Utah stores. We have this amazing brand, but our back office was kind of a mess. I needed some restaurant experience. I started Swig just because I saw a need, right? And I just jumped in kind of very naively of like, let's do this, and very like old school. Took orders for the first 3 years on yellow post-it notes. Like very mom pop, like, oh, whatever. And like a cash register for 3 years. Very, very old school. But then learned there's better ways, like iPads and bump screens and point of sale systems, all of that. So we scaled it to 17 locations, but I knew we needed help, and we needed restaurant help. So we partnered then with Four Foods Group, now Savory Fund.
Yep.
They bought out our existing partners. Our existing partners knew they were not a good fit at that point. They wanted us to go off and scale. And so Four Foods Group, Savory now, they helped us to refine our systems. We redesigned our logo at that time. We knew we wanted to go outside of Utah. We knew we needed to be taken probably a little bit more seriously of like clean up the brand, the logo, everything, the insights of the stores, just give it more structured training, give the managers more help. So that's what Four Foods and Savory did for us at that venture. Then we got to about store number 40 to 45 by 2022. So that's like 5 years later. And we're now at the next stepping point of like, okay, we know we want a franchise, but it makes us nervous. Are we ready for that? Because I want to protect Swig. Like, Swig is my sixth baby. I have five, Swig is number six. So I want to make sure that every Swig from the original to Logan or to Dallas or whatever looks and feels the same. So those customers get that same experience. So as we franchise, we want to make sure we protected that, but we didn't have a team for franchising yet. We didn't have the systems built out. So we needed help in that as well. So we just knew we were at that next tipping point. So we had other companies come in that were maybe trying to partner with us and infuse some cash or some capital, private equity companies, if you will. And either they just didn't quite get the brand or understand it. You know, they're from like San Francisco or New York or Chicago, and they're like, "So wait, when do you open?" And I'm like, "Well, we open at 7:30 a.m. and there's a line of cars." And they're like, "What?" So they just didn't understand it, and that's okay. But then in the summer of 2022, the Larry H. Miller company came to us and they said, "We've heard. We know about Swig. We're a customer. We're Utah based. We see where you're going. Your future is very bright. You haven't even turned on franchising and you're already 45 locations. And you've built this amazing, strong base of customers and team. We want to be a part of that because that's who they are." Larry H. Miller is very team focused, very community driven, and that's what we do at Swig as well. So it just fit perfectly. So we partnered with them in November, I think it was, of 2022. And it's been the best partnership ever. And they took majority at that point. So Savory Fund still has some, and I do as well, and some of my other partners. So, but they took majority.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So awesome. Congratulations. I mean, that's huge,
Well,
huge accomplishment.
it is. It's one of those things that I didn't, I don't do things ever like, "Hey, well, yeah, that sounds good." It's done with a lot of prayer and thought. And we could have sold maybe to some of these private equity groups that were coming in, but A, they didn't value us for what I knew we were worth. And they just needed to fit with who we were culturally. And so, and I could have franchised years ago. The need was there. And that's why there's so many competitors, because we weren't, but we weren't ready. I want to make sure that we are ready. So when we do turn something on, we're ready to go. And the thing with Larry H. Miller partnership is they haven't wanted to come in and change it. They're like, "You guys have something super special. We just want to be a part of it. And we're going to help support wherever is needed." So honestly, my role hasn't changed much from that partnership. I'm still, you know, go to every store opening that I can. I'm in the stores working with the teams, making sure the culture feels good. I'm helping out with new products that we're bringing in, menu development. They're just there to support and help when needed, which is the perfect partner. So it's been fabulous.
I love it. That's amazing. I wanted to ask you if you could go back in time to I think you said April 2010, right? If you could go back in time, maybe to 2009, what are the three things you would tell yourself to do differently as you've gone through this process? And that might just be like, hey, enjoy it more. It might be anything. But like, what are those three pieces of advice that you're like, you know, if you, or if you started another company, like these are the three things I'd really want to make sure I focus on.
So one thing I wish I would have known more about is accounting. You know, like I didn't have that background, and I would have loved to have understood the numbers more and the books more. I know customer service like the back of my hand. Like I was in high school, I worked at Sizzler and I worked at McDonald's, and like I know that super well. That's easy for me. What I don't know is more of like the business side of things. I wish I would have consulted with a business consultant of like, okay, how is the best way to do this? So I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have had a calming. I wish I would have slowed down just a little bit, you know? Although I don't feel like we went super fast. I feel like I was super intentional about bringing on partners. We didn't open store number two for 3 years. Like we just focused on that store, building this super strong base. And I think that's why our customers latched onto it so much because they saw me in there on a daily basis. I am all about, we make mistakes along the way, but that's how we learn. So, I wish I probably would have had more of a business background and maybe taken some classes of accounting or business. But I didn't know I was going to start a fountain drink business or a drink business. It was just like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. And I think oftentimes the most organic, just like, hey, let's go try it type of businesses are what thrive because it's all in. So you're just trying to make it work as best you can. And I tell a lot of entrepreneurs, you don't have to have everything perfect because I sure didn't. Like from the post-it notes to the cash register to just trying to make it work the best that we could, was all we could do. I'm a mom of five kids. I honestly can say I don't have a lot of regrets about splitting that time. I taught my kids to work hard, to sacrifice, and then balance. So when I was with my kids, I was very much with my kids. My phone was put away and I am very much with them. But if I happened to pull around to the store, let's say back in the good old days when there was just one and they had a line wrapped around the building, what do you think I had to do? I had to go in. I had to go in and help. I'm like, they need my help. And they're like, no, please don't go in. But they learned to sacrifice and learn they had to share with their mom. So I think maybe just business. I would have liked to have had a business coach to help me along the way. I think that would have been very beneficial to get some advice and not just jump in blindly. But I think you just have to jump. I am not one that waits. I will, if I feel something, I will prayerfully think about it. But then I'm like, I'm not going to wait till it's perfect because it will never be perfect. It's never a perfect time to do it. Like if I would have waited for Pepsi to come in, I don't know where we'd be. So you just have to do it. Well, here's another example. So when we first started, I was getting our cookies from a bakery in St. George called Dutchman's. And 2 years in, and we're busy at this point. This is fall of 2012, lines wrapped around the building, and their bakery flooded. Completely flooded. They didn't know if they were going to reopen. So I had to pivot so fast. And we had a lady making cupcakes for us. And I said, can you make cookies? And she's like, yes, I can make really good cookies. I said, okay, I need them to taste just like what I'm selling so our customers don't skip a beat. So she worked like three or four different recipes on each of our four cookies. And within a couple of days, we had them. And then we had our own bakery. So we now have a bakery. We were a bakery at that point too. Did not think we'd ever be a bakery. And now we transitioned into a very large commercial bakery. But you have to be nimble. You have to be ready to pivot and not be stuck on certain ideas.
I love it. I think that's such a great point. I definitely noticed that amongst entrepreneurs that they don't sit and debate. And that can be, I definitely look at myself and sometimes I probably should spend a lot more time thinking through things. But I think it's such a great point of just get going, because you have those friends who are, they always have an idea and they're kind of like waiting for the perfect idea, or they're waiting for the perfect time, or they're waiting for, well, if I just read two more books. And it's like, dude, just do it. Like half the time the idea will change so much that it doesn't really matter. Just get going. So I've definitely seen that with
So
PillowCube.
true.
It's PillowCube is in a very different spot than when it was when we first launched. And so,
Yeah, exactly.
that's so amazing.
Yes, I love it. That's how you learn. You just got to jump.
So your kids are now, youngest is like 18.
19. Yeah. Well, actually, his birthday's in 2 weeks, so we're 20, but 19 to 30.
Yeah, that's amazing. How do they feel? Is it now just, I'm sure it's a big part of their life.
Yeah, it's so cool because they definitely were along for the ride. So, the two first employees, I started off with 15 employees and two of which were my own kids, you know. And so they've all worked in the stores. They've been, you know, shift leads and assistant managers. They know what goes into it, and it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Like, there's a lot of sacrifice, but they've all kind of gone different routes. Like, they've gone into a marketing job. One was a school teacher. One is in sales. And so they've all kind of done different things, which I love. But they're super proud of Swig. They drink it on a daily still. It's like going, it's surging through their blood. But they're very proud, especially where it's at today. I mean, Jay, it's incredible to me. I've never seen the business have so much hype behind it as it does today, from just the dirty soda craze that's just going crazy right now that we've had since day one. From franchising, we have sold 450 units, franchise units in just a year's time. And I knew that it wasn't a matter of will they come. It was like, guys, get ready. Once we turn this on, floodgates. But like to see these stores actually opening. So to be in San Antonio a month ago and opening that first store and in Arkansas. And you're going to see Swigs this year in Florida, in Nashville, in North Carolina, in Kansas, in Vegas. Like it's happening. So it is really cool. And then to have, we've built up our office staff. We now have a CEO and a CMO and a CFO and a COO. And because in order to grow like we want to, you've got to build a team. So we have an amazing team. And it's just super fun to see where we're at. And I feel very blessed every single day.
That's amazing. It's an incredible testament to what you built that it had that foundation to then build on top of it. So it's really, really.
That's the best kind of foundation, right there. Best way to build it, right there.
That's amazing.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Well, it's always fun. I think I saw that, like, I can't remember if it was Kansas City or St. Louis, and like there was a 5-hour line, and it's crazy.
Not yet. We're not in Kansas yet, so that might have been, I don't know what, but Kansas is this year. So
Maybe
yeah.
it was you said Oklahoma. Maybe it was the Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Anytime we open a store, we do a grand opening and we do 2 to 3 free days, depending on how many stores are in that market. So free days, meaning that anybody who dares get in that line, you get a free drink and a cookie for being in a car. And the lines will be like 100 cars deep. Like it's crazy. But again, it's about being a part of something. They can go get that drink down the street, but they feel special. They feel a part of something at Swig. And it's fun, like for these franchisees. So they've partnered and they bought into us. And that is really humbling to me as well, that they are buying into this brand and they want to be our partners. But to see their eyes light up on those grand opening days and go, this actually works, as there's like 50 cars in line for their grand opening day. And that is just like, oh, that's so sweet.
Well, I remember we live in Pleasant Grove, here in Utah. And I remember when you opened that store, we like went to go get it and we're like, it's crazy. So we'll go to the Orem store. And we just,
Right, which is only a mile away.
We're like, well, we'll go do that. But it's so fun to
Yeah. It's a celebration. We want, it's a celebration. Those days are like, hey, celebrate. We opened another store. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, what's next for you? What are you excited about? Anything you're working on? I mean, 450 franchises is probably a lot of work. I'm gonna guess. What's something that you're really pumped about to see in the future?
Well, that for starters, I really want our franchisees, and we've selected larger groups of franchisees, so we're not doing onesie twosies. They have to commit to at least 8 minimum, and then they go up to as high as like 40. So we're dealing with we're supporting, I should say, a smaller group of people rather than 450. We have about 25 to 30 groups, so we can give them the support and love that they need so they will do well. So just supporting our franchisees. I will go to every first store of every franchisee's opening so I can let them know that I value them as our partners and let those customers know that this is a, you know, female founded business that is wanting to be a part of the community. So making sure we land well with franchising is huge, top of my list, top of my list. because we're spreading this to the nation and we want them to really know what SWIG is. And so that's huge for me. And then our Save the Cups program is just excelling. It's taking off. And that's our breast cancer fundraiser, where I'm a breast cancer survivor. And so we give money to women fighting the fight with breast cancer, and we help lift some of the medical debt weight off of their shoulders. So just this last Friday, I delivered 8 checks to women fighting the fight, and wow, bring the tissues and the video. The video is going to come out soon, but these women, oh, they're bald. They are, you know, on oxygen. We surprise them at their schools. They're school teachers. I mean, it's so amazing, and that's just getting going. We've only done that 4 years now, really 4 months in October. And we've raised $1 million. So my goal is to really ramp that up to where even in these franchise place regions in Florida or wherever, we can help women in those regions fighting the fight and just bring awareness to breast cancer is awful. It's a killer. But what people don't realize is the side of it with the medical and the financial debt is huge, and it will take people under.
Yeah.
And so we need to bring awareness to that fight of it and help lift a load. So that's my focus, is support franchisees, make sure that our team feels good, our culture is still good here, and then bring more awareness to Save the Cups as well, and just helping in other ways that we can too.
It's amazing. Well, that's an incredible endeavor. It's super fun. I saw that the other day, and it's just amazing that you're doing that to give back. So that's really cool.
Well, it's what was done for me. So I'm giving back in the same way I was given to. So that video will come out here in a couple of weeks, and get your tissues.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good.
I can't wait to see it.
It's going
to
be good.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your experience and wisdom. You're an entrepreneur who I think a lot of people look up to. So it's always fun to connect with your heroes and see what they do. So thank you for coming on.
You're so nice, Jay. One last thing I want to add is I don't do any of this without my team.
Yeah.
My team is why we have what we have. We go to the finish line together. They are the ones on the front lines working so hard. So my team means the world to me. We are like family. So the team is where it's at.
Well, that's amazing. And hats off to them, because they do a great job. So
they do an amazing job. Yep.
Well, thank you again for coming on, and super excited. We'll have to have you come back again.
Love it. Thanks so much, Jay.